Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That's Romans 12:1, and this is Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining me today from Texas is adoptive mom Monica Gerber. Monica and her husband Kevin have two biological daughters. Macy is 14 and Felicity is 11. And their son Evan is 7, adopted from the Democratic Republic in East Congo. Their daughter Ruthie is from China and is 6 with Down syndrome. And they are also in process of adopting two siblings already in their home, a 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl of Middle Eastern descent born in Yemen. So, Monica, you are a busy mom. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Very busy.
Very busy. I can relate. Very busy with a house full of wonderful children that the Lord has blessed you with. I love that scripture that God places the lonely in families, and we know He does that.
Yes, He does.
He does.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because you have two biological children, your two daughters, what led you to adopt?
I guess when we, it's kind of funny, when we were engaged, my husband said, how many kids do you want to have? And I said, 2. And he said, 6. And I said, well, you got the wrong girl, because this girl is not having 6 kids. But anyway, he somehow worked that out through adoption. And my brother and his wife, they had some infertility, and they decided to go down the route of adoption. And they have two sweet children from Guatemala and Kazakhstan. And so that kind of brought it up close and personal to us. And so after that, we said, hey, if we have more kids, let's adopt. And so it was a while after that. Neither one of us were 100%. We talked about it, but I just prayed that, you know, if we were supposed to do it, God would make Kevin 110% sure to do it. And so one night he went to a business dinner. And he came home really late, and he said, hey, do you still want to adopt? And I was kind of like, yes, why are you asking me this? And he said, well, if you want to do it, I'm 110%, let's do it. And I said, what happened at this dinner? And so he had been sitting at the table with Mike Dennehy, and I don't know if people know who the Dennehy family is, but they have 13 children, and many of them are adopted, and and so he really was influential in Kevin's life, and that's where it took off from that point. So.
Yeah, I've interviewed Sharon Dennehy on the show before, and they just have incredible adoption stories. And then there's that beautiful video that was produced that can be found on YouTube about, I think it's called I Like Adoption or something like that. And it features their family, and that's incredible if our listeners want to check that out. You know, God positions people where He wants them. So putting your husband at that table with Mike Dennehy was definitely a God thing.
For sure, yeah.
So tell us about your first adoption, bringing Evan home from Congo.
Well, when we decided to do this, we didn't know where we were going. And so we thought Ukraine, and then we thought Russia. And so we were trying to figure out what country. And we actually signed on with an agency for Russia. We were supposed to go and get a little boy there, but right before we were supposed to leave, he disappeared out of the system. And so we were sad, but we knew that that was just God's plan. And the whole time, my husband really wanted to go to Africa, and I thought you can only adopt from Ethiopia. And at the time, I just was hearing things that made me feel not comfortable with adopting from Ethiopia. And so I was a little bit resistant, and we had paid money to this agency, and my husband was saying, we're just going to stay here, and I'm sure we'll find our child, and I prayed, I remember at Christmas, I was just, you know, praying and praying. My son must be here in one of these pictures somewhere, you know. And I just really felt that God said, your son is not born yet. He's going to be born in March. And I thought in December, and we have a home study ready. And I was like, no, no, no. I must have misheard. It just can't be right.
Hi.
And, hi, down here. And, so anyway, not too long after that, I read an article that was sent out by Rainbow Kids. And the lady had written about the Democratic Republic of Congo. And when I read it, I just knew. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is where we're going. And but then I thought, well, my husband might not go for it because we, you know, we're in line to adopt from Russia. And we had paid money to that agency. And so he came home, and he was working on my computer. And I said, would you go over there? And while you're over there, would you read that article about the Democratic Republic of Congo? It's really interesting. And I didn't know, but you can adopt from there. And he didn't say anything, actually. He just kept working on fixing my computer. And he left the room and went back to the bedroom. And so I followed him back there. And I said, hey, did you read that article about the Democratic Republic of Congo? And anyway, he turned around. He said, yes, and we're supposed to adopt from there. And I said, oh, okay. So I knew. I was like, that's where we're going. So I immediately, you know, was like, got on the phone to call the lady who ran the organization that my son was adopted with. And she agreed right on the phone to help us, which was kind of crazy because a lot of people wanted to adopt with her from the Congo. And I didn't actually really grasp that at the time. But anyhow, so we ended up going that direction, and a couple weeks went by, and she called us and said, hey, I have a situation where a missionary is on the ground in eastern Congo, and she knows about this orphanage, and there's about 34, 35 kids. They're all under age 2, and they only have a caregiver for the day and the night, and there's no food. They're feeding them water, or if they have anything, it's super watered-down formula. Would you be willing to take the risk? And we said, yes, because that was our whole thing. We're like, you know, yes, we're going to do it. So she said, okay. So a couple weeks went by, and she sent us a picture of our son. And he was just precious. And he was only about four to 6 weeks old at the time. And he was born on March 22nd.
Oh, March.
Yeah. So there's our March. And it was just confirmation, you know.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, that began our journey to Evan, which was crazy and unpredictable and, you know, probably not what most people would choose for their very first adoption. But anyway, it was great. And we both stayed in Africa for an extended period. I was there in eastern Congo with him for about a month. And then my husband came, and he actually flew in across the country, and they call it the flying coffin too, because it crashes all the time, this plane. And so he went to Kinshasa, and you know, Lord intervened, and we were able to complete that adoption, and we brought him home just before 2011. So
wow,
he was 9 months. Yeah,
he was 9 months old. And you did it again, because not long after bringing Evan home, you went to China and brought home Ruthie. So share with us about that journey. And we might hear Ruthie in the background, right?
You might, yes. Yeah. Yes, she's sitting right next to me, actually. So after we adopted Evan, we ended up moving to Texas. We were from Virginia. And I don't know, God was just, I felt like speaking in my heart about children with Down syndrome. And I would just see them everywhere. And I knew a girl, a little girl. Well, she was a woman, really. And I was a little girl who had Down syndrome. And she was good friends with our family. And I just always loved her. And she was so precious. And so I asked my husband, I said, what do you think about adopting a child with Down syndrome? And at first he was like, I don't know. That's a major commitment. And I said, well, I don't know. I love kids with Down syndrome. They're just so precious, you know. And he said, well, I'll pray about it. And so I don't know how much time went by, not too long. And he said, okay. He said, if you want to do it, let's pursue it. And I said, okay. So I started looking on Reese's Rainbow, and I found a little girl from Russia, and we both prayed about it, and we decided she was our girl. And we went to go and get her, and right after we committed to her, they shut Russia down.
Yes.
So we were disappointed, but we knew, again, that God had another plan. And so a little bit of time did go by, because that was kind of a, it just took us time to get past that. And we saw our sweet Ruthie's face on Reese's Rainbow, and I sent her picture to Kevin, and I said, yes, and he answered that, yes, let's go get her. So that began our adoption to our sweet one here. She's saying hi right now. She's waving.
Hi, Ruthie.
She says hi. Yeah. And so we had actually were going to try to get two from China, but God had other plans, and we ended up just getting our sweet Ruthie here and brought her home, and she's just been a joy and a blessing to everybody, and she's everybody's favorite.
So now, was that part of the story that you shared with me that there was another child you were trying to get from China, but was actually adopted by another family? Tell us about that, if you can.
Okay, so there was another little boy. His name was Kennedy from Shepherd's Field, and we felt at the time that God wanted us to pursue him, and so we did. And I had a lot of fear in that process. It took a really long time because we had to raise so much money, and but we stayed on course. We really, we know we were consistent. God wanted us to do this. We were going to go through with it, and we got there, and I just felt like this is not right. Something's wrong, and my husband and I couldn't stay in the same room. We were in separate rooms, and because just the way it was set up, nothing wrong. I just had to stay with the children, and they didn't have enough beds in the one room, so we couldn't really talk, but he was feeling the same way. And after we met with the doctor, his medical needs were far more severe than we understood them to be. And I just didn't have peace at all. And I cried every night. I was just crying. I was like, this is, something's wrong with this. And finally, I found out my husband was feeling the same way, and neither of us had really wanted to talk, you know, like really say that we had, you know, concerns over it. And so anyway, when the night before we had to make the decision, and they said, you know, you have to sign this, that you'll never, you know, that you'll always care for this child. And in my heart, I thought, I don't think this is my child. And so we were on the phone all throughout the night with Shepherd's Field, with actually the Dennehys. I actually tried to contact the people that did adopt him, the Nelsons, because she had sent me an email that made me think that they would have adopted him. She had sent me something that just, I felt like they would maybe adopt him. And so I actually could never get in touch with her. It was just, technology was difficult in China. And so anyway, I prayed that a family would step forward for him before we left China. And actually, the Dennehys said, we're going to go get him. And then the Nelsons were also, Dara Nelson was also behind the scenes. She had found out about it, and she was like, we're going to go get him, because she felt all along in her heart for sure that he was their child. But I didn't know that at the time. And so we decided not to move forward with it. And but before we left China, within a few days, we knew he was committed to, and he was very well taken care of at Shepherd's Field. We weren't putting him back into a bad situation. I think that might have changed our course if we had known he was going to be in danger. But anyway, so shortly after that, we found out that the Nelsons were committed to him and were going to get him. And actually, they only live about 45 minutes from here, and he is...
Wow.
Doing very well. She she has other children that have brain injuries, and she is just, you know, an amazing mom with them.
So the Lord really...
So it was not easy,
yeah.
But it was God's plan. So. Yeah.
And the fact that he's only 45 minutes from where you live is incredible.
I know. It is incredible, actually. And wow. She and I text periodically, and I'll say, how's he doing? And or we'll talk about our adoption that's pending right now, and she prays for us, and I pray for her. And so it's actually been a beautiful relationship.
A God thing. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Texas adoptive mom, Monica Gerber. Monica and her husband, Kevin, are parents to two biological daughters, 14-year-old Macy and 11-year-old Felicity, and two children through adoption, 7-year-old Evan from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and 6-year-old Ruthie with Downs from China. The Gerbers also have two siblings in their home. They are in the process of adopting a 7-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl, both born in Yemen. So, Monica, you knew the Lord was leading you to adopt children from Middle Eastern descent. Share with us your journey to these children.
So one thing is that they were actually born in Michigan, but they lived an extended period in Yemen. So I'm sorry I didn't say that right. But anyway, so the way it worked out is I was at the mall one day, and this was 2 years ago, I guess, or actually more than that now. And I was at the mall, and it was a busy weekend, and my mom was there with me, and we were actually in process for the two from China at that time, and I saw this little boy out of the corner of my eye, and we were kind of trying to walk quickly through the mall. We had a destination, but I saw him. I didn't see a mom, and then all of a sudden, I saw him heading for the sliding glass doors, so I made a beeline for the sliding glass doors and to go after him, and my mom was behind me, and she's like, where are we going? I'm heading for the sliding glass doors, and she's like, well, that's not our route. So anyhow, this little boy runs into the parking lot, and he's in between all the cars. He's about 3, I think, and he falls down, and he's crying, and I picked him up, and I just felt like this intense love for this child. And I know that's kind of my adoptive mama heart, but and I immediately was thinking, which nationality is this child, you know? And that's also my adoptive mama thing. And I was just, you know, trying to figure out how did he get in the parking lot and where is his mother? And so I took him into the service counter, and they called the father, and he took quite a while to get there, but he finally did, and he had the little sister with him, and they were very, very clearly Muslim, and the little girl had the head scarf on. And anyway, he was grateful that I had, you know, found his son. Couldn't believe he was in the parking lot. And I prayed for him when I was holding him. And I thought, okay, this is definitely a pay attention moment. This is not a normal thing to have happen. And my mom too was just like, that was weird. She's like, I can't believe that. That's just crazy. And anyhow, so I just sort of tucked it away as, you know, what, there was maybe a purpose here. I think there was a purpose here. And so, but we were in process, like I said. I did go home and Google, can you adopt from Syria? And I saw that that's not possible. And I thought that Brad and Angelina could adopt from Syria. So I was like, how can they do it? You know. But anyway, so I kind of just tucked that away, and we were focused on the adoptions that we were in process for. And then after we came back, and we were kind of grieving our other situation, and we were, you know, just learning our new daughter. And I was just up a night praying a lot. And one night I was up, and I said, God, you know, we had that mall experience, and it's still kind of hanging out there. And if you just wanted me to save that child, God, then that is fine. But I'd really just like to, you know, check this off the list. If you had a purpose, then, and, you know, I can't go to Syria, but if there's a mother here in the United States that has a child that is Middle Eastern, that needs me to adopt her child, I just pray, Lord, that you would just bring that child forward to me, show him to me. Because I kind of knew in my heart, I was thinking, boy. And you know, just reveal him to me. And so I didn't really think much else about it, actually. I had also been praying about a limb difference, because when I was in Africa, I really saw a lot of people with limb difference, and I just felt like God was pressing me in that area, too. So I talked to him about two different things, you know, and then I got up and went about, you know, our day and weeks, and I actually never even mentioned it to my husband. And well, actually, when I prayed the prayer about it, I really had a vision of a little boy, and he was not in birth order. And I said, no, 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 no. I want a baby, God. I am not going to do an older child adoption. I want a baby. And I really knew that God was saying, nope, you're not going to do a baby. You're going to, this is going to be an older child adoption. And so anyway, weeks went by, and a friend of mine from our church sent me a picture of a little boy. He was on a horse in Yemen, and it said, you know, she said, this child needs immediate placement. His family is going to be returning to Yemen, and he needs to be immediately placed. And so I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. So I printed it off, and I went up to my husband's office, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he was like, no way, we're not doing that. And I said, okay, but I need to tell you a little something that I hadn't told you about. And he said, okay. So he came on. He at the time was worked at our home, and he had an office, an office above the garage. And so he came down, and I said, okay, I need to tell you something. And I told him about it, and he said, man, he's like, I need to qualify your prayers, girl. This is crazy. And so I said, okay. So he agreed that he would contact the agency, and he called, and he just left. I was like, you did not leave a good message. You didn't say that we were a Texas family. And I said, because it had to be a Texas family, because the agency that he was listed with was a Texas agency. And so, sure enough, she did call me back, and that began our journey to the two that we have pending right now. we pursued that. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And it took a while to process it. And my husband's mother was sick at the time, and so we had actually made an emergency trip up there to visit her. And while we were there, she ended up dying. And so it extended our trip in Toronto. And so, but while we were there, the lawyer called us, and he said, can you please come to Michigan and pick up this child? And would you also adopt the sister? And we said, yes, because we had already been praying about her. We had found out about her later. And we thought, God, if you want her for us, then we really would like to adopt both. And so we headed on down 5 hours from where we were to Michigan to pick them up. And so we did. And they're with us now, and we're still working out the process. There's been a few issues that we're still working through, but they are wonderful children, and we love them, and they're just blessings. So.
Well, incredible story. So they were born in the United States. They're U.S. citizens. Their family is originally from Yemen, correct?
Right. So the father is not an American citizen, and he still resides in Yemen. And the mother was born in the United States, but she has spent a lot of her life in Yemen, and she's, you know, she has, I think, other family in Yemen. But she was born in the United States, and so the children were born in the United States.
Okay.
But, But yeah, so, but they did live there for quite a while. She actually, they actually lived as a family in Michigan for a while. And then there were some legal issues and the father had to return to Yemen. And so she went with him. And then, while they were there, she had to make an emergency, escape from Yemen. And, so it's pretty dramatic. And so she had to work out a way to get on a boat, and she got on a refugee boat. She got on there with her children. She left with nothing. And, she took the boat across the Sea of Aden, and then she got to a refugee camp. And when they got to the refugee camp, for some reason, they took their passport. And so they had to stay there for a little while, but she was able to contact some people at the embassy and get the passports back. And then they put them on a plane to the United States. And she actually is a professing Christian, and the father is Muslim. And so she came back and she tried to make it work for years. And it just wasn't working. And she, you know, she was trying to get help, but she just got to the point where she just didn't want to do that anymore. She was offered help, but she said, I just want them to be adopted by, you know, a Christian family. And she contacted agency after agency that were Christian agencies. And they wouldn't help her because they said the children were too old and they would only take babies. And she finally called an agency in Houston and they agreed to help her. And so they did, and that's how we found them.
And you have them in your family
yep.
today. So,
yes.
Monica, thank you so much for sharing your story with us yeah. today.
Loved it. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you. I'm Sandra Flack, and I hope you enjoyed today's show as well. If you'd like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Radio Show to find a menu of shows to choose from. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We are a 501c3 all-volunteer-run organization, so your gifts go directly to the work of JFO. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More and executive director of JFO, and I would love to come share with your church about why and how we can walk out James 1:27. So contact me again at our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.